And Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you," this is in John, "while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, and it's not as the world gives, do I give to you. So don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." He's left to go prepare a place for you, for me, for every one of you who call him Father. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for today. I thank you for this time, this special time of praise and worship, special time of partaking in remembrance of your supper, of what your Son did for us to be broken and crushed for us. Have your will in your way today, Lord. Use my lips to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I started into the armor as I was on vacation. And I did prepare the first part, which was your loins girt about with truth. I don't know if we're going to get there, though. I really think there's some things I want to review, but there's some things I want to go back in a little bit deeper on, a couple of things I shared with my sister on, just reviewing my notes and going back through. And it seems like every time I go through, I always want to add more. And I'm like, I should have said this, or should have covered this. And there's so much. I have 30 pages already of notes, and we haven't even got into the armor. So it's just, there's so much to cover. Our foundational scripture was Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." That evil day is today. It's the day in which we live. It is every day until the Lord returns. Right. "Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance." Persevere, saints. "And supplication for all saints." Hallelujah. Powerful. Powerful set of scripture. Demonstrated. So we know that we are at war, and I want to review back what we've gone through. We know that we're at war. We know there is a spiritual realm. That was evidenced when we talked about in 2 Kings with Elijah looking upon as the armies were coming upon, and he prayed, his servant's eyes were opened, and his servant's eyes saw the heavenly host, the army of God, chariots. What a pleasure, what a honor to be able to see something like that. So there is a spiritual realm. There's a realm between heaven and earth. And we know that Satan goes back and forth between there. And with that spiritual realm, we discuss that there's a battlefield that occurs. And we have three enemies. There is an internal and an external enemy. The flesh, which is internal. And the devil is the external enemy. And he uses the world system, to influence. The flesh, which I found, I was reading back through my definition in the Greek, which is sarx. And it, the one part that stuck out to me is the animal nature with cravings which incite one to sin. That's our flesh. That desire that rises up. It's apparent. I mean, it's apparent when I'm when on vacation even. I just had this like rise up fleshly desire all around, looking at these beautiful homes and things. Just very easy. The world creeps in. I was fishing, and the Gulf normally is very clear. And so as I was looking out on the Gulf, I noticed that about 50 feet out, I was just telling Joe this, there was like a mud line that goes all the way out. And so what's been happening is Lake Okeechobee overflows, and what they do is the Army Corps of Engineers releases the fresh water down the river into the Gulf. And so all the runoff, all the waste from the septic systems and everything is rushing through the river into the Gulf, and it's just clouding up the water and making it, that's the mud line that wasn't, it was not there last year. So it gives you an idea. And I just, as I was looking upon it, I was thinking about the scripture of going back to the mud. And I was thinking about the world itself. And I was thinking about how quickly things can turn. In 1 year's time, a beautiful beach that was clear, that where you could see fish. And I did not see any fish whatsoever. I saw a couple stingray, but I saw no, there was no bait fish within the very shallows of the water, which meant there was no fish to be caught. And so this mud came through, this waste came through, which is the world. It talks about it, the cares of the world come in and snatch the word away, which is what the devil does. So I had this visual right here in front of me for a whole week. I'm sitting out there, I'm going, why are there no fish biting my line? I mean, not one. What's going on? And then I look out and it hit me. I'm like, wow, it's the mud line. It's the mud line. It's filth and decay and all those things that the world was created perfect at the time. And after Adam dropped the ball, it just, into Satan's hands it went. And it's been in decay ever since. So what a visual for me, just even be able to see that, how Lord kind of speaks to you in different ways. It's pretty awesome. So we talked about the flesh, and in Romans chapter 7, 14 through 20, and I just want to recap. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage for sin. For what I am doing I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin that dwells in me. That is our sinful nature. And we have this warring going on inside. In Romans 8, we have the promise that there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That is us. That is our promise. That's how we're able to access the armor that we're going to be going into. Because later on in chapter 8, in verse 37, it says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, which is tied back to Ephesians chapter 6, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is awesome. That is awesome. You are a conqueror because of your position in Christ, in his righteousness of what he did on the cross. So you have to walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You guys with me so far? Is this, I just felt as important to go back through, and we had the week off, and Jessica did a fantastic job of tying things together. The external foe that we, the ancient foe since the garden, the devil, a formidable enemy, formidable. He's been active throughout all of our human history. If you don't think he knows who you are mistaken. In Acts, Paul, it actually references in Acts 19:15, Paul was not only known in heaven, he was actually known in hell as well. So those who attempt to bring God's influence in the realms of the world system will typically experience more resistance from the devil. You have been saved, and therefore the devil wants you back. And the more you resist and try to press on and put God's kingdom forward and bring and spread his gospel and his truth, the devil will come against you in a mighty way. So we know that he was the son of the morning. He was an anointed cherub. He fell. He took a third part of the stars of the heaven with him. He's known as a dragon. He's known as the deceiver. He's known as the accuser of the brethren. He's a tempter. He tempted Eve in the garden. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness, which we talked about. He opposes all of God's work in Zechariah. He snares the wicked. He's a deceiver of the nations. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. He's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's known as a destroyer in the book of Revelation. And he will, his Antichrist, when he sits on, will destroy this earth. He will destroy those. And he is a spirit that works in the son of disobedience, that is referenced in Ephesians chapter 2. So Satan is a god of this world, a thief, a murderer, and the father of lies. He's a deceiver and a deluder. He works overtly and blatantly in the wickedness of the world and covertly through the world's systems and false religions of the world. As 1 John 5 noted, both are under his power. He can appear as an angel of light when he's needed. And he can be wicked and evil and vile as it suits him. Ephesians 4:27 says we must not give him an advantage. And that world system, which is power, it lies in the power of this evil one. And that is the world system, the cosmos, the orderly arrangement, the world affairs, the earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, etc., the entertainment, the leisure, the business, political, and military systems of the world, the false religions of this world, hollow and frail and fleeting, but they'd stir desire and want to seduce one from God. He has complete control over this system once Adam surrendered it in the garden. He uses his demons. Remember, one-third of the heavenly host fell from heaven. I don't believe the angels could be numbered, so one-third is a lot. It's just a lot. And he uses his demons to influence and to oppose you. The system was meant to embrace its godless governments and conflicts. It's meant to uplift the fallen nature of man so that man is magnified and God is excluded from everything. There's something for everyone, even the proverbial Christian, in this world system. You don't have to just be an atheist to be tantalized by the world system. We as Christians are constantly bombarded through the news, through the lust of this world, the pleasure of the eyes, the lust of the eyes, it's all there. And it just gnaws and tugs at your flesh to want you to stir up and react. 1 John 2:15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That means Satan uses that. He's created that. And the world will pass away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. That's a promise. That is a promise to you, to remind you to remain steadfast. The world system is hostile towards God and Christ. If you haven't noticed that, the persecution in third world countries is intense. People are being killed for Christ's name's sake. We have a very important election coming up that could very well shape the culture of our church. Satan will do all he can to muzzle our mouth. He wants to take as many people down with him. He wants as many people to go down with the ship as possible. We are not of this world. We are citizens of heaven first. But we are not to withdraw from the world. We are to engage the world and be a light unto darkness, as reminded in Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, and if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine that you may give your Father glory in heaven. You, letting your light shine to those that are lost. You have a purpose, Mom. You have an identity. I asked this question when I was going through this set of sequence, and I'll read the scripture, which was Matthew 16:24-26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That means deny ourselves of the things of this world, the system that promotes values and materials and experiences, and oppose God, Jesus Christ, and his word. And I ask this question, what is your soul worth? What price are you willing to accept? That's what we're going to be talking about, your loins girded up with truth. That's an honest question that you need to answer yourself. What is your soul worth? We can put on an external face as a Christian. We can talk the talk and present ourselves in a way that other people don't know what's going really on internally. So that's, you have to be honest with yourself. It starts at home first. Be honest. Where is your heart? Where is it? Do you need to reconcile yourself back to him? What is your soul worth? Before I left, we talked about Satan and his tactics, his schemes. He had three, which was deception, temptation, and accusations. We learned about deception, and we read about in Genesis chapter 3 how he deceived Adam and Eve. We read about the temptations where Satan uses temptation to shift our focus from God to and from eternal significance to things to ourselves. We learned how he tried to tempt Christ in the wilderness. He actually used some of the word and twisted it. He left out certain parts. He offered him the world, the kingdoms of the world, which we already know lies in his power. So he had those in possession to offer to him. And last, we talked about the accusations. And those are the silent whispers that you get. Those silent little whispers. He does all, with all three, really, to be honest with you. He tempts you. You hear those things. Deceives you. Makes you feel like you're not wanted. You're not one. But I said to be strong in the Lord. And that's one of the things I shared with Jessica. And I was really cool. I was looking up and I said, be strong, Lord. And I wondered, what was the word in? And so I looked up the word in Greek. So be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And the word in the Greek means a fixed position. How cool is that? In is a fixed position. What does steadfast mean? To be an immovable object. Sounds very similar, doesn't it? Also, it's a relation of intermediate rest. So be strong in the Lord. So be immovable in the Lord. Don't go back to the mud, right? Be immovable. Be an immovable object. Be steadfast in the Lord. And there's rest there too. Rest to those who are weary and weak. That's awesome. That's awesome. One word, in, covers that. Be strong in the Lord. Not be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. And you have this power that is inside you. I just read that the power, he sends the comforter. That power that Jessica talked about and preached about. If you didn't hear last week's sermon, you definitely got to listen to it. That same power and spirit resides in us. We are made in his likeness. He is the silversmith refining us, looking down to see his reflection. That's God. That's a quick review. I think we're going to have time to get in, so I think that's good. So as Paul explains the armor of God, so if on we can resist the devil and he will flee. So we have this power that's inside us. And Paul explains and uses Ephesians chapter 6 as kind of a metaphor for the daily battle of the Christian. He decides to use armor as that metaphor. Many theologians say that Paul was using a Roman soldier as his example. It's very possible. Paul knew Roman soldiers. They were everywhere. I mean, you know, Rome was such a large empire. It covered such a vast area. They definitely had possession of Jerusalem. And Roman soldiers stood out amongst the crowd. They were in their armor. When they were dressed up as soldiers, they were in their armor. Which is very, I wish I had time to, I wanted to do like a whole visual thing with, you know, a picture of the armor, but you just have to visualize. If you have, you think about like a centurion, right? Their hat and their helmet. Yeah, what's up, buddy? I know what it looks like. Yeah, that's good. So have that thought in your image. So the belt of truth. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. That's 6:14a. So the Roman soldier's belt served an important function. The belt not only held the scabbard for the sword, but it was also typical that that belt typically had strips of leather and pieces of metal to protect the lower body. And most importantly, when the Roman soldier had his belt on, meant he was ready for battle. Because underneath the armor, the Roman soldiers and many people back in the time wore tunics or skirts, if you want to call them that. And if it was winter, they'd wear a long robe. So when putting on your armor, your belt would be put on first to pull the tunic together. And typically the corners of the garment were tucked in the belt. Why did that happen? Well, if you're going to battle, you want more mobility. You want to be able to move quick, get and have speed to be able to run. So really putting on the belt means to be prepared, readiness, alertness. They were pulling everything together, all loose ends, so no one would take advantage of them as they were heading into battle. So stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So what is truth? Truth in the Greek is aletheia. And the definition in the Greek is objectively, what is true in any manner under consideration, truly in truth, according to truth, of a truth in reality, in fact, certainly. What is true in things appertaining to God and the duties of man, moral and religious truth in the greatest latitude, the true notions of God which are open to human reason without his supernatural intervention, the truth as taught in Christianity respecting God and the execution of his purposes through Christ, and respecting the duties of man, opposing alike to the superstitions of the Gentiles and the inventions of the Jews, and the corrupt opinions and precepts of false teachers, even among Christians. This is actually the definition. It's subjectively the truth as a personal excellence, the candor of mind which is free from affection, pretense, simulation, falsehood, and I thought this one was really interesting, and deceit. So truth here mentioned is the attitude and sincerity. It's a dedication to the truth. So we are prepared to have a heart for battle. Are you prepared for the truth, to fight for the truth? In John 3, 20 through 21, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, aletheia, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. In John 4, 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Again, aletheia. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. In John 8, 31 through 32, then Jesus said to the Jews, which I believe on him, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 17:17, John, Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove and test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. So as Christians, we are to test all things and discard everything else and hold fast to the truth only. Get rid of the garbage. Hold on to the truth only. The world we live in teaches that truth is what we make it, good and bad or relative. And there is no absolute. That is the postmodern view. And the Bible teaches that truth is an absolute. There's an eternal absolute. That's right. You either accept him or you don't. It's either real or it's not. Salvation is either real or it's not. Too many people today are raised, and it's rampant in our colleges, that it's, you know, it's, that's the way you see it, but it doesn't apply to me because I don't see it that way. So what's true to you is true to you, and what's true to me is true to me. They're deceived. They are deceived. So Paul says to gird up your loins, and I find it interesting that there are other references in the Bible to gird yourself. Luke 12, 35 through 37 says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men, be like men. So that's what he's saying. Be like men. Be of strong and of good courage. Then wait for their Lord. Then he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he shall come, find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. We are to hold fast to his return, keep our lights burning, our wicks trimmed, meaning we are prepared, we are ready, right? We just give you the example of the Roman soldier, preparedness. That belt means these are prepared, ready for battle. It is the attitude of you, the Christian, to the truth. So is the truth an external peace, or is it an eternal peace woven into your heart? That's a question for you. How do you embrace the truth? Are you walking in truth one day, which is today because it's Sunday, and you're not walking in truth the rest of the week? These are hard questions that you have to ask yourself. Where are you at? Do you embrace the truth? Do you fight for the truth? In 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of your conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. This is our previous reference to the soldier. Using the belt to tuck in the corners and the loose ends, Peter is telling you the same thing. We need to pull in all the loose ends of our life. We are going to battle, and where does that battle occur? It occurs in the mind. Satan comes after you with deception. Tuck in the corners. Pull yourself together. Get rid of the loose ends, the things that are not of him and in Christ, that are not of truth. Discard everything else. Tuck yourself in. Get ready for battle. Love the truth and be ready to fight for your faith. And in closing, for Aletheia, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our trust in God and his word must be solid without waver or break. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, will he not do it? That is Numbers. That is a promise to you. So you need to embrace the truth. And I love that visual. Think about tucking in the loose ends of all your life, the corners. And those are things I can't say to you specifically. I have to look at myself internally and say, what are those loose ends in my life that I need to tuck together, that I need to get rid of? I should be tucking in only the truth. Get rid of the rest. Discard the rest. Think about that to yourself the rest of the day. Think about when you wake up in the morning. Think about, okay, Lord, what is it? What is it that I need to get rid of today? Something's keeping me from your truth. Something's keeping me from speaking your truth. Something's keeping me from fighting for my faith. Fighting for your cause, Father. Fighting for eternal significance. What is it that's keeping you? Something is keeping you from doing that. You find that, embrace the truth. Amen? Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I thank you for being able to review. I thank you for helping us to start into the armor. Help us walk in your truth, to be a light unto this dark world as it gets evil and more evil every day. Help us to be steadfast in you, Father, to love you, for you are great, as we sang today. You are holy, and you are worthy of all of our praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.